Today's January 4th, 2026. Current Bitcoin price is $91,303.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Happy New Year, Rick.
Happy New Year.
How was your holiday?
It was good. It was good.
Did you do anything exciting?
No, a whole lot of nothing. Just hang out with family.
That's not bad.
I mean, it's good. It's just, you know, when you get old, you just heck with the excitement. Chill out, veg out for a little bit.
Yeah. What were you going to say before I asked you about the holiday?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's just weird that we're already in 2026. Feels like we just started 2025 and it was over in a blink.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're what, a year and a half into this current halving or this current cycle?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, just looking back at this year, it was kind of a lackluster. Is that maybe the way to put it?
Yeah.
Very lackluster. I mean, there was a lot of expectations on Bitcoin going to the moon and back, but it didn't really do that.
Well, and I think what our targets, I think even, because I thought we were fairly conservative, even from my standards, I think we were both thinking like 140,000, 150,000 was going to be the peak. And it looks like we got 126.
Yep. 126 back in October, and it's just been kind of flailing for quite a while. Though, I mean, in this new year, if we're 4 days in, or we're on our fourth day, and things are going in the correct direction for our tastes.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen, I think it's, right now we're looking at a 5% increase based off some of the news that has come out. But before we dive into that, how are our theoreticals looking? Let's look at that real quick.
Okay, theoretical number one, if you would have purchased Bitcoin back in October 2023, so over 2 years now, if you would have bought $3,000 worth, then you would have bought 0.0885 Bitcoin. And today's price, that is now worth 8,080. So 3,000 into 8,000. We've seen it a lot better, but still doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's still decent.
The second theoretical purchased right at the halving, like basically a year and a half ago. It was April 19th, 2024. If you would have bought 1,000, you would have purchased 0.01564 Bitcoin, and that is now worth 1,428. So 42%, almost 43% increase.
Yeah. I mean, it's still not horrible.
No, it's not terrible, but it's for a year and a half investment in Bitcoin, especially for the OGs who started way back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. On the halving too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Off the halving. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You would have expected, I mean, obviously now we're in traditionally what we'd be the beginning of crypto winter, you know, and that's, I think that's the thing that blows my mind. We were kind of talking about this last night while we were in the car. Like, the cycle feels so weird because we're already, what, about a year and a half in after the halving in a 4 year cycle. So basically coming up in, is it going to be April or May already? We're going to be 2 years into this new halving cycle, and then we'll have two more years before the halving happens again.
We're halfway to the halving at that point.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would expect that we'd be bottoming out within the next 6 or 7 months and then start our crawl back up.
You know, it would make sense. I mean, but that's assuming the 4 year cycle is still intact, you know, and there's a lot of people who've been saying it's not intact, and I've been one of the naysayers going, you guys are crazy. But maybe it's time for me to eat crow and say, hey, the four-year cycle is dead. It's a whole new thing now.
Yeah, and we were talking about that last night, too, and I don't know for sure. We have to give it more time to say that it's dead. I think part of that, too, is that you were kind of touching on this. Like, retail really has not returned. I mean, other than what we maybe have seen in the ETFs.
Yeah, but I don't consider that like the usual retail market.
No, because typically, and I could be completely wrong on this, but most of the time I felt like the retail market was the crypto bros that were not necessarily buying stocks. Like it wasn't your traditional investors,
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
No, I mean, if you're buying crypto, up until before the ETFs, you were kind of an outsider.
I mean, to me, it feels like the ETFs are definitely, and I could be wrong on this too, but I think a majority of the people that are purchasing through the ETFs are boomers.
Exactly.
And I don't think that was traditionally your crypto retail investors from the past.
Nope. And that's a kind of a funny thing. I mean, January 2026, the ETFs have been basically in effect for darn near 2 years now.
Because it kicked off. It's and it, when we look at
Crazy.
that, so we pulled up the ETF flows. We it's still not pretty.
No.
A lot of zeros is what you were kind of commenting on when we were looking at this. It looks like the second actually was a fairly positive day. It was almost half a billion. It looks like an inflows that day. But before that, I mean, we still have seas of red that are taking place. We had the 30th, looks like there was 355 million. Looks like December 17th, looks like it was a half a billion there again, or just about. But other than that, though, I mean, there's been a bunch of red days coming through there. And now they're not huge red days, but they're still red days.
Yep, sentiment was not good. And one of the things that we kind of expect with retail, especially like come tax season, is the selling off of some crypto to pay their taxes. I mean, are we going to see that this year too? I mean, retail's not as involved, so that's just a thought.
And I think we kind of touched on that, I want to say last episode, because there were I want to say we mentioned it anyways, maybe we didn't. We'd have to go back and listen, but there were people that were sitting on, they maybe they bought Bitcoin at 126,000. They bought a whole coin, for example. And when we were down to the, 80, 89,000 range, they could have sold at that point, taken, recorded their loss, and then bought right back in. That way they had that for their tax purposes.
Right.
So I'm not sure. I don't know how that's going to go. I mean, looking at things kind of at a macro lens, when we look at all this stuff, Venezuela, that there's a lot that's they're actually promoting as saying that this has been bolstering the Bitcoin market. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Just with that question, I don't really have a good take on that. I don't have a good take.
I feel like so we were looking at this kind of beforehand, and it's they were bringing up U.S. forces capturing Nicolas Maduro. Trump says the U.S. is going to run the country during the transition. On that news, Bitcoin jumps nearly 5%. I don't know if you can actually directly tie that to that type of news, but the crypto market added 100 billion in inflows based off of some of that. So there's analysts are worrying currently of a 17.3 trillion oil shock tied to the U.S. control of Venezuela now. Oil futures closed previously at $57, and when they reopen tomorrow, it's expected there's going to be some volatility with that. So I don't know. Is Bitcoin the macro indicator? I think is the question of what's going to happen come Monday. Are we going to see oil futures jump based off of this news?
And that's the question. I don't even think next week really is the thing that we should be gauging. That's just sentiment. It's gonna be a long-term thing. But you got to hand it to the Trump administration on getting Nicolas Maduro. I mean, we went to bed one night and then we woke up the next morning and they were like, "Oh yeah, we've already seized the president of Venezuela." I was like, "What the hell?"
It would that yeah that whole thing was weird because you had the previous I think we had talked about this maybe we didn't talk about it on the podcast maybe we talked about it before the show began but we were discussing Trump holding the press conference about the blockade in Venezuela, and then he didn't even talk about the blockade. He ended up doing talking points for his presidency.
He put out that he was going to invade in Venezuela, and then he was going to have this speech, the evening speech last month. And so everyone was talking about, we're going to invade Venezuela, and then Trump is going to address the nation. And then he addresses the nation and just talks about his accomplishments as he sees it throughout the year and doesn't mention Venezuela once, cuts, and then that was it. So it was the greatest troll job ever to get a lot of people to put their eyes on him and watch his press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just pretty wild because he did that and they stepped away from it. I mean, there were still some talks about Venezuela, but then the morning of the third, they just ran in there, grabbed him and took off. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if I can relate. I don't know if I feel like the boom in Bitcoin's price. I mean, obviously we saw, and when I say boom, like the 5% gain, like that's not bad. I'm glad we're back over 90,000 again, but will it hold? Was that actually related to what took place in Venezuela? I think that kind of gives that a little bit too much credit. I mean, why would Bitcoiners care about that? Like, why would Bitcoin's price be adjusted to that? Can you think of anything?
No, I don't think Bitcoin and that question really intertwined. That's why I was like kind of drawing a blank. And anybody saying that, you know, Bitcoin was bolstered by this, I think their case is pretty weak and they're stretching.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see the big correlation there. One of the other things that we were going to talk about kind of going into this too, obviously, is kind of just reflecting on 2025. We talked a little bit about that as this episode began. You know, what Bitcoin underperformed its expectations for 2025. We said that already, like the 140, 150,000 range. That was what we had kind of talked about.
And being very moderate, right?
Yeah. I felt like we were being very moderate. I was like, I felt like that was a good kind of thing. We had so much tailwinds going into 2025. We had the Trump presidency coming up, as we go into 2025 and how it was going to be friendly to Bitcoin and crypto regulations in general. And then, not that it wasn't that way, but it just seemed like it was a buy the rumor, sell the news type of event with all that.
No, it just looking back last year when Trump was inaugurated, that's when Bitcoin had hit its high of, at that time, the all-time high of 108,000. And then it took kind of a steep downturn to somewhere around 75,
yeah,
roughly, down into April. And then it kind of rebuilt itself back up. You know, we eventually saw the high again in October, the 120, what is it, 128?
Oh, I want to say it was 126.
Okay, we'll just say 126. And then it kind of fell off. So it's pretty different. The swings have not been crazy violent. Though I've noticed that the downturns seem to have more momentum behind them than the upturns.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the previous cycle at this point, like if you would have held on after the top, you held on to it for a couple weeks, you would have not even a couple weeks, but shortly after you would have had, it lost 40% of your value right off the top.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have seen that whole elevator down rather than the stairs up, right? Because that's typically what we see in the Bitcoin market, is that when we go into these crypto winters after our peak, we usually have the blow off top and then we have a huge, huge correction where it'll be like 40% in a couple of days that you'll see the drop kind of take place. And given we've seen a drop, I think we've seen about and I could be wrong on the percentages here, but I'd say 35% correction off the top. But it doesn't feel as agonizing as it's going down this time. And I don't know if maybe that is, I've talked about this before. We've talked about this before. Are we desensitized to it?
Maybe. We've been watching crypto for so many years that, you know, I don't know. I think you almost have to be numb to it to a certain point. And then when it's really mild moves that we're seeing on a daily basis, I think we are desensitized.
Yeah. Well, and I think at the same time, like if that's how we're feeling and we're desensitized, then more than likely, and I'm saying this wrong, if this is truly just how this cycle is now, maybe we just don't see the explosive gains anymore. I mean, maybe that's done now with the new type of investor that is involved in Bitcoin.
Yep. Well, that's kind of the thing. The ETFs are gobbling up a lot of the Bitcoin. They sell some, they buy some, but they're not just completely dumping everything.
No. Right?
Outside of Grayscale. Grayscale just keeps dumping, but they've been holding on for a while.
Yeah. I think that's got to be kind of an interesting, different take. You know, we were talking about retail previously. Retail was not disciplined in their investment strategy. So when they panicked, they would dump, right?
Yeah. No, it'd be total emotional dumping and they'd just screech. It was that FOMO that was in there, you know, the fear of missing out.
Yep.
And then the pure fear and panic. You know, both of those sentiments are not really seen anymore. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's actually could be a good thing.
Yeah. I think it's kind of a weird play how we're seeing that kind of different. And maybe that is the softening of the edges of the Bitcoin market in general. And I don't know necessarily it's a bad thing. Like we're sitting at $91,000 Bitcoin. I'm still pleased with how Bitcoin's price is performing. I'm glad it's not $200,000. It's not $150,000. But if we're in a crypto winter and this is the type of reactions we're going to get from the market, then I feel kind of good about it. I mean, I don't know where 2026 is going to take us. I don't know what it's going to look like. Was 2025 underwhelming? Absolutely. But at the same time, it just, and we talked about this, we didn't get the euphoria, but that's okay.
Yeah.
If prices hold at higher levels, I think I'm okay with not getting the euphoria. And I mean, for people that were still stacking, you know, sats and trying to get, you know, to whole coins or whatever, this gives them a little bit better of a buying opportunity. I know it's still expensive to get to a whole coin. If you weren't already kind of ahead of the game, whenever all this kind of stuff started, but what do you think it's just going to be a grind from here on out? Like we're going to just grind up, grind down. Like, What are your thoughts? Like going into 2026, are we going to see a major sell-off? What are you feeling within the market?
I'm going to say yes to both questions. I think it will be kind of a grind for the most part. You know, and I will say there will be some type of major sell-off. I mean, we saw it collapse, you know, 30%, 30 plus percent in April of last year. And, you know, it would almost make sense for the timing, like if we kind of bottom out sometime. I mean, usually in the previous cycle, I know I'm still applying to a cycle that we're talking about is dead, but it would almost make sense if there was some type of low, like, you know, the FTX collapse type thing situation where there's some type of thing that happens and Bitcoin's price bottoms out, like, say, in the third quarter of this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You know, the most interesting question that I have is Bitcoin going to be up or down at the end of this year?
Yeah.
When we record on December 31st this year, I don't want to get that far ahead because 2025 already flew past me. But, you know, are we going to be, when we do the intro with the price, is it going to be above 90? I have a feeling it will be.
Yeah, and I think I'm really curious when we get to October of 2026, that will have been 3 years from our first theoretical purchase of $3,000, right?
Yep, the $3,000, which is, you know, 0.085 Bitcoin.
You would expect that if we had bottomed during this year, that we would start the upswing. And I would really be curious to see exactly where we're at that point. And I honestly don't know, because I mean, we are halfway through the halving cycle for a 4-year cycle that could or could not be dead. And I don't know, obviously black swan events are hard to predict, but I don't know what we would have on the horizon.
Oh, that's hard to say.
I don't feel like there's any, like there hasn't been any narrative this cycle. Like it's been hard for me to pinpoint what the narrative would be for this cycle. Was it just ETFs? And if it was, then it was just Bitcoin. I mean, the other ETFs for the other crypto markets haven't performed as well. We didn't see anything in the way of altcoin surges, really. I mean, slight, but nothing that I was crazy about. I'm not sure what this year is going to take us. I don't know. And I think you bring up a good point. Are we going to be up or down? When we get to December of 2026, are we going to see a huge swing one way or the other? And maybe not. Maybe we'll be sitting at 90,000 come December 2026.
No, that's an interesting point. The only thing I can say on the broader picture of the economy and, you know, just everything in general is it does feel like there is an AI bubble.
Yeah.
And the one cycle that does happen every 18 years is kind of the real estate cycle in America. Maybe 2026 is the year to sell and maybe next year is the year to buy. I don't know. That's kind of how the cycles seem to go. It remains to be seen. It feels like our economy is running on fumes, but it just keeps chugging along.
Yeah.
Nothing's happened still. So just wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to kind of wait and see. We'll have to take a look at what the CPI print will be coming up for December. I'll be kind of curious to see what that comes out as. Did you pull up? You were looking for the FOMC meeting dates. When do we have one coming up in January? Did you find one?
Yes, there's going to be one on the 27th, 28th. So we probably won't get anything on that until the next month sometime, but it'll be interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I think that'll be kind of good to see. I don't have a whole lot in the way of anything else to kind of go over. What about you? Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I just wanted to put out an episode and let people that know that we haven't disappeared. We're just kind of waiting for something to happen. Nothing's happened, so we'll just put out an episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think we said last time we recorded like that was going to probably be our last one for the holiday season. And now, obviously, we're into January of 2026. We've been doing this podcast now for quite a while, man. We recorded right at the peak?
The previous peak. So 2020, like October 2021 would have been it.
That's so crazy.
Something like that. October, November 2021 was our first episode.
Yeah.
So it's over 4 years. I'd almost say we've outlived a cycle, but this cycle, if it is a cycle, it's extended. So I don't know if that's the case or not.
I think back to those earlier episodes, man. And I was hopium the whole time. Prices were crashing. And I was like, man, we're going to go back up. It's going to happen. And it did. But yeah, it's, I am always the permeable, you know that. So, I'm glad that, you know, it's been good actually, to kind of do this podcast with you, because you always temper some of my extreme, bullishness, because man, I get so caught up in the hype when people start throwing out those Bitcoin's going to hit $1 million. I'm like, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen tomorrow. But I'm still pleased with how Bitcoin is performing. And I think, especially for the early investors, I think it's been a solid buy. I still think that there is room for you to make money in Bitcoin, in the future. I do think, I mean, as that continues to kind of draw down, you know, as the supply kind of continues to get gobbled up, I still don't think that it's a bad way to purchase. And I think eventually what's going to happen is your institutions are going to have such a huge piece of the pie. Retail and regular folks are going to have a hard time getting their hands on any substantial amount of Bitcoin. So I still recommend buying.
No, I agree. I think I might be saving a bit until maybe the end of this year. Maybe that'll be a good time to buy. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Dip your toe in the third quarter of this year. That just seems like it might be a good idea.
I'm going to be making a purchase here pretty soon. But I know I'm going to be making another purchase later on down the road, a little bit more substantial again, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'll kind of time that. I'm not going to talk about how much or anything like that, but maybe we'll talk about that on the podcast when to buy again. So, and maybe, I don't know, do we want to add a third theoretical at some point?
I think so.
When we see markets do a certain thing. And again, not financial advice. We believe in Bitcoin. And basically, when it comes to assets, anything that you can get that's not easily produced, Bitcoin, gold, silver. Which silver, man, let's do that real quick. I want to see what is silver at. Silver is at $72.81. Gold's still sitting at $4,331. Oil is still sitting at $57.32. I'm kind of curious to see what oil is going to do come tomorrow. I think we will get a close above 90,000 today for Bitcoin. We'll know a little bit more as the day kind of progresses on, but, we'll continue to be with you as we go through this, this continuing or changing of Bitcoin cycle. We just enjoy doing this. So thank you all for listening. And we do appreciate those that have been listening, more in depth. Like we've been seeing actually a pretty good increase in our analytics. So we appreciate everybody that's been listening. Please share it with your friends. If you think anything that we're talking about is meaningful or impactful, sorry today if there wasn't a whole lot in the way of the news that we felt was really worth talking about, but, I think just kind of a reflection over 2025, I think was important. So.
Yep, for sure.
Thank you all for listening.
Bye. Time.